Okay, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10. That's the 10th chapter of Luke this morning. As we come to the Word of God, let's look at not the whole chapter this morning, but a portion of it later on. So let's read the chapter together. Let's read it together. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom rather than that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits are submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You've answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' In reply, Jesus says, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on by the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side also. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you have." "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had had a sister called Mary, and they sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work for by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, the main point of the message this morning is going to be on the Jericho Road. Those verses from verse 25. I've felt the Lord drawing me closer to this particular part of the reading this morning. That's a challenge for us this morning. On this occasion, we read there in verse 25 that this expert in the law comes to test Jesus. And we see that probably he was an expert in the law of the Torah, the Jewish law. And he comes to test Jesus and says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then we see that he's written in the law there how he replied, "How do you read it?" And he then asks the question by asking a question. And then the lawyer refers to the famous passage from, I think it's Deuteronomy, that's a bit later. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." And so we see that Jesus says, "You answered correctly, and you will live." But this guy, this lawyer, this teacher, this guy who was clearly an authority, if you like, on law, tried to justify himself. He didn't really realize his need of Christ. And so he questions him. He wants to justify him. And he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And then the story we have about the priest and the Samaritan there in those verses. So it's really a passage to us all. And we know that this guy who, as we've said, is clearly a guy who knew the Torah, an expert in the Torah, or the Greek meaning of nomikos, comes to Jesus, "How may I obtain eternal life?" And this question is asked several times in the Gospels. We see it in Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22, and Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22, and it says, "Now a man came to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good?' And Jesus replied, 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' 'Which ones?' the man inquired." Jesus replied, and he gives her the list: 'Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" So that's the account from the law. "All these things I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered him, "You want to be perfect? Go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 22 of that chapter says, "When the young man heard this, he went away very sad because he had great wealth." Other passages talk about the ruler in Luke 18 verse 16 to 22, Nicodemus in John 3 verses 1 to 15. So this guy is trying to catch Jesus out. He calls him a teacher, And then in verse 29, he tries to justify himself. But Jesus replies with a question, sensing that, well, you're an expert in the law, you should know these things. Know the answer. And Luke 10, verse 26, it tells us, what is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? How do you interpret this? And so he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and Leviticus 19, verse 18, the correct answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 29, he tries to justify himself. And instead of asking Jesus, how can I do this? Or I cannot do this. In order to do this, he needed, in essence, to have the love of Christ in his heart. And he didn't. He had the law. And he didn't say, Lord, I need assistance to help me keep the law. And he now tries to defend himself against the implications of what Jesus was actually saying. And so tries to move the conversation from the personal to the neighbor. And he's asked the question, who is my neighbor? And that's true of in the world, isn't it? When we go out into the streets and evangelize, we try to find that when we share the gospel with people, they try to move the subject, or they try to change the situation when they feel challenged. It's a natural reaction to defense, when really there is no defense, because it's only Jesus that can provide the way for salvation. Now Jesus tells this parable, actually, Jesus doesn't actually call it a parable, it's in your Bibles, in some Bibles, I think it's the King James Version, as listed as a parable. But we can conclude probably from the actual text that this is actually relating to an actual event that had occurred. This is the man on the road, the main road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's a road, I've not actually personally been there, but some of you may have been, but it descends for around 3,000 feet in approximately 17 miles. It takes a walking time, according to Google, of 7 hours 32 minutes to do a complete journey. A winding road that facilitates robbers and to hide at various sections of the route. And we see that there, verse 30. Judea was abounded with robbers and thieves, and Josephus, a historian, records that once, the time of Herod the Great, the Herod the Great, dismissed 40,000 men, one period in history, who had been employed in the temple building, a large part of whom later became highwaymen, robbers. So the man is robbed, but he's not just robbed, he's stripped of his clothes, and they beat him. And they left him half dead. So it wasn't just the ordinary robbery, if you like. And so we're presented here with three individuals that would happen to be passing by in the area of this injured man. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. And then we see in the account we've read this morning, the priest and the Levite, the ascendants were, the priest and the Levite and the priest were assistants, descendants of Levi, not of Aaron, who would have assisted the priest of Aaron's descendants in the temple. And it is said that there were around 12,000 priests and Levites living in Jericho at the time. And they would have been frequent travellers on this road between Jericho and Jerusalem. That road that curves round in many different places. And they both saw this man beaten at the side of the road, lying at the side of the road. And the reaction was to cross the road. Perhaps the injured party was himself a Jew. We don't know. We don't know who this man is. We're not given a name. Maybe the priests and the Levites had returned from Jerusalem after a week's work at the temple and thought, someone else will do that. It's not my job. Maybe somebody else will help him. Maybe they thought the robbers had used the body on the ground as a bait so that they could attack and rob those who went to his aid. We don't know. We're not told that. But we see it today. A sad thing in America and here. A person injured on the floor in a busy main street. Maybe stabbed or shot, we don't know, but people just walk by as if the person doesn't exist. Just walk by. They don't see the person, or they don't see, you know, that he's injured or they need help. I'm going to work, I'm doing this. Some churches have this problem, fortunately we don't. But people are so friendly on Sundays, but then by chance you happen to see them in the week and they don't know you. Or they cross over the road. And that's a sad fact. For the priests and the Levites, it was against what was written in the law. Deuteronomy 22 verse 4 tells them and tells us this morning, if you see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it, help him, get it to his feet. So it implies not only a care and duty to the brethren, but also to their enemies. In Isaiah 58 verse 7, it tells them, is it not the share to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? But then along comes a different man, a Samaritan, an outcast, one that's hated amongst the people. And Jesus uses this example to disarm the whole argument of the Jews. We know that the Jew and the Samaritan were sworn enemies. In John 4 verse 9 it says, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews who do not associate with Samaritans. In John 8 verse 48, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and a demon possessed? This was not a Jew helping a Samaritan, but a Samaritan helping a Jew who had been ignored by his fellow Jews. And by his example, I think we can perhaps better understand what it means to show mercy. And in verse 36, he questions, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert of the law, verse 37, replies, the one who had mercy on him. To the thieves, this travelling Jew was a victim to exploit, an opportunity. So they attacked him. To the priest and the Levite, he was a nuisance and someone to avoid. But to the Samaritan, he was a neighbour, a fellow man, to love, to help. And so he did that. He took care of him. Verse 33 tells us, but a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to him, to the innkeeper. Look after him, told him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. He then went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring the oil and the wine. And in this sense, picture of Jesus, because he's done that for us this morning if we know him as our own personal Saviour. He attends to our wounds of sin. Not with oil and wine, of course, but with his precious blood that was shed on the cross to heal us and to save us. And this leads us on to looking at what Jesus has done for us. We were that injured person at the side of the road. The world is full of injured people. on the road of life. We were stripped and beaten and left half dead by our sin. And guess what? Jesus saw us. A neighbour in need, a person in need. And just as a Samaritan took the man, Christ came to us and saved us, redeemed us, gave us a hope. He healed our heals our wounds and our sicknesses, and he loves us. The Samaritan didn't criticize the man on the ground for being stupid enough to have traveled without an escort. It was known as a dangerous road, a dangerous stretch of the road. He didn't even ask him how he got to this place or in such a situation. He simply saw the man in the road, bleeding and dying, and he simply dealt with the situation, pouring the oil and the wine, both of which were very expensive. He had that oil and wine probably for his own supply for himself. For this Samaritan, it cost him a great deal to help this person. He saw the need, he had compassion, and practically helped to remedy the situation. The Samaritan forfeited, in essence, his own comfort to relieve this injured man. And that's what Jesus has done for us, and that's what we have for the world out there this morning. That Jesus is the one that can heal the wounds and put us back on our feet and send us with a hope and a rejoicing. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured in the oil and the wine, and Jesus, as we say, is attended to the situation. Put the man on the donkey, took him to an inn, and took care for him. And these two silver coins we had mentioned in verse 35, he gives them to the innkeeper and tells him, look after him. When I return, I will reimburse the extra expense. These two silver coins, roughly worth around two denarii, which equates to literally 2 days' wages. So it was an immense sacrifice for this Samaritan guy who was there at this time and helped him. And that's what happened with Jesus. It cost him greatly to save the world. He died on the cross, and that was the sacrifice that he made for us and for the whole world. In fact, the John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die on the cross for us, that we could have everlasting life. But there is judgment. There is a day of judgment. It's not all love. It's not all nice things. There is a day of judgment. But there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus this morning. What a contrast between this Samaritan and the priest and the Levite, who thought themselves to be above everyone else around. Probably looked down with others with contempt. You see, they had religion, not Christ, in their hearts. And today we see it all over. Religion, religion, religion. But no practicality, as in this case. Jesus says in verse 37b, go and do likewise. The question for us this morning, are we the priest and the Levite who simply crosses over the road, leaving the person dying? Or are we this despised Samaritan who sees the person as his neighbour and goes to assist and to take care of it? Who is your neighbour? Well, it's not necessarily the person that lives next door to you, although it is, and they can be the hardest people to win for Christ. But it's anyone who is in need of help, and the world is in need of help, but it doesn't have Christ. And we're the ones that bring that message of hope and life to a world that is dying and it doesn't realise it. The priest and the Levite, they had the law and they observed it. They tried to keep it and they criticized Jesus, and the Pharisees, as we read on other accounts, continually challenging Jesus. They had religion, but they didn't have Christ. They didn't have the love of Christ. They didn't understand the things. They had no compassion because they did not have the love of Christ in their heart. And that drives them to love the unlovely. Or this person beaten by thieves. It's possible that we can be the same and only look at ourselves or the immediate people around us. But what about the alcoholic, the prostitute, the drug addict? Does the love of Christ drive us in our hearts to practically and spiritually help where we can with these people? You know, there's a place which I came into contact with many, many years ago, through in Chicago, Illinois, or in there in South State Street. There's a mission there called the Pacific Garden Mission. I don't know if any of you have heard about it, which used to produce, and probably maybe still does produce, a 30-minute radio program that is broadcast to various outlets throughout the world. I think Transworld Radio was one of the ones that regularly had it. A program called Unshackled. And it's a tremendous sort of old-style type programming in which it dramatizes people's testimonies, having come to Christ, say, from alcohol, drugs, and addictions. And this Pacific Garden Mission takes in homeless off the streets of Chicago, clothes them, feeds them, a place where they can receive medical treatment, a place where they are the Good Samaritans, who bandage the wounds and take care of them physically and spiritually and share the gospel. And it must be over the last 30 years or so, millions have gone through their doors and lives have been changed. And if you ever get a chance to hear these broadcasts or on various syndicate radio stations, I recommend them to you. Unshackled, they tell the true life stories of people who have come into their situation in the Pacific Garden Mission and been changed radically for Christ. And Jesus tells them in this passage, and we close similar here, go and do likewise. We are the ones who have Christ in our hearts. We are the ones that can bring hope when there's despair. We're the ones that can bring unity where there is disunity. We can bring all these things because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Out these doors is a world that needs Christ. And particularly at this time when the pandemic and the various other things are happening and so rapidly happening in our midst, more so we need to go out there with the good news to an injured society and a damaged world with the good news. Which are you this morning? The priest or the Levite who crossed by the way and said, not my business? Or are you the Good Samaritan who saw the need and deals with it practically? God bless you this morning.